Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 34. Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 34.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 34 reads this way. It says, "And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this time that we have to come into your house. And then, Lord, again, being reminded where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this evening. We do pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And, Lord, that we might honor you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might strengthen the faith that you've given to us, that we might walk in your will and in your way, and truly be the witnesses of your great grace that you desire to impart into our lives. Bless, open up our understanding, Lord, that we might draw nearer to you, and that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that many souls would be saved by our witness that you've given to us. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "The Children of the Highest." The Children of the Highest. And that was mentioned there in the last verse we read there, verse 35. And so tonight we want to consider four important truths that will make the believer in Jesus Christ faithful as children of the Highest. That's what we want to do. We want to emulate the Lord, and we want people to say they belong to the Lord. They honor God. God blesses them. There is a working relationship. There is a back and forth going on between this group of people that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and God in heaven. And what a beautiful thing it is to see faith in action and the Lord rewarding that faith. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. And that's the wonder-working power of God and the amazing grace of the Lord, that he would choose imperfect people to honor and glorify his name. And so tonight, as we look at that, God is showing us how that takes place. And these truths are simply the Lord's focus on his disciples. We'll take a look at that, on how the Lord does that. And he does look at his disciples, and he wants them to follow him so that he might show them his path and his way, that they would draw nearer to the Lord. And so we'll take a look at that for a few moments. And secondly, we'll notice the Lord's direction to his disciples that hear. That's the key ingredient. We want to hear the word of God. Remember, the Lord would even ask, "How do you read the scriptures?" Or, "How do you hear? How do you listen?" And because sometimes if we come with a preconceived idea, we're not open to the Lord's direction. We need to be pliable in the hands of God that he might show us his will and way. Number three, the disciple full of faith will be as his master. That's the third truth we'll look at. And so we need to consider that in our own lives. You know, if we're going to be faithful to the Lord and we're going to be filled with the faith of the Lord, then we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, many scriptures that the Lord says, "Follow me," and if you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself. And so these things are part. And if we don't see that taking place in our lives, we need to approach the Lord. He wants us to approach him with those things. "Lord, explain to me, give me wisdom and understanding. How does this work?" And the whole idea of abiding in Christ and him abiding us in us, that we might bear fruit, that we might bear more fruit and much fruit, we want to see that taking place because it is the promise of God. And if God makes a promise, is it true? And is he faithful to bring it to pass? So if it's not working, it's not because there's a problem on the Lord's side. It's because we're not asking him like we ought to ask him so that he will fulfill that in our lives. There's nothing. Is there a problem with the word of God? There's no. Aren't you glad? There's not a problem. Is every promise true in the word of God? So if it's not taking place in our lives, the only thing we need to do is say, "Lord, teach me, show me. How does this work in my life? Because I know your word is true, and I'm misunderstanding it somehow. So, Lord, give me light, give me understanding in that." And then lastly, we'll consider the disciples' faithful foundation. That's important. And of course, we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock on which all of our faith is built upon, trusting in Him and His ways. So let's back up here to verse 20, and let's look at the Lord's focus on His disciples. Look at verse 20. It says, "And He lifted up His eyes on His disciples." So where is He looking? He's looking on His disciples, right? So He's looking at them and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." So He's looking at them and He's seeing a group of people that are following Him, and they're not people that may be of the wealthier kind and the wealthier sort. And so He wants to, and by the way, He's also letting us know that wealth has no bearing on the promises of God. Isn't that great? You don't have to have anything but a desire to seek the Lord and to walk with Him. So He says this. He says, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Then He says this in verse 21. "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Can we trust the Lord in that? And why does He say that? Well, a couple of reasons. We should hunger on this side of eternity. We should hunger for righteousness. And if we hunger for physical things, that's one thing, but we should certainly hunger for spiritual things. And then He says, if you weep now, and why did He say that? There's going to be weeping on this side. And the Lord understood that because, follow this, not just because of sad things, but because of the struggles that you and I have and the misunderstandings that we might have in our walk with the Lord, right? So He's saying, you're going to be blessed. You're not going to understand some things. Has something in your life happened that you didn't understand that maybe brought sorrow and sadness and you were confused? And yet, was the Lord not in control? And did the Lord not allow that to take place for two purposes? His honor and our good. Isn't that the truth? But how many times has something happened and we're scratching our heads and we didn't plan on it like that and we didn't think that was supposed to happen? But here's what the Lord is doing. Here's what He's saying. Ready? Trust me. Amen. And He didn't say there wouldn't be weeping. Did Peter weep bitterly? Was Peter disappointed? He was so convinced he knew he would not deny the Lord. And that certainly he would not deny the Lord three times in one night when the Lord needed him the most. And yet he did. And when I say the Lord needed him the most, you know, when they were praying in the garden and he fell asleep and different things took place and he was so assured. And the reason why he was assured was because he thought he knew himself. But the one thing he didn't know, fathom this thought, God knew him better than he knew himself. And he knew that was going to take place. But the good news is that God brought him out of that and He made him a better believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and certainly less confident in himself. He realized he could not place confidence in himself. And by the way, you and I need to learn that lesson as well. We cannot place confidence in ourselves. If we have confidence in ourselves, we certainly don't have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have both. We can't have both. We are either confident in the Lord or we are confident in ourselves. Because if we have confidence in ourselves, you know what we think? We're self-sufficient. We don't need you, God. I've got it. I'll call you as soon as I have a problem. But that's not the way the Lord wants us to walk. So He says this. He says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Do you think we're going to laugh one day? Yes. When it's all said and done, we're going to laugh and we're going to say, "The Lord had it the whole time. We just didn't understand it. Oh, Lord, now I see clearly," when we stand face to face before the Lord. But on this side of eternity, we simply have to have faith or trust that God truly holds us in His hands. That's easy to say, and yet, you know, in those times, we just have to say, "Lord, I trust You, and then, Lord, give me the strength to trust You no matter what comes my way, that I would be faithful to You." Verse 22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Do you think men are going to hate us? Did they hate the Lord Jesus Christ? And of course, the answer is yes. So blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Did they do that to the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely they did. Will they possibly do that to us? And so at that particular moment, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow. You don't want to be misunderstood. You don't want to be taken for an evil person. And yet that can happen. But when it does, mark it down. Whose hands are we still in? We're still in the Lord's hands, aren't we? And he's not forsaken. And is he working that out for our good? Yes, how? We humbly walk with you, Lord, and we humbly trust you even in that. Now, that's easy to say, but it's when we're in the midst of that trial and trouble that the Lord will call that. Oh, yes, I'm in your hands, Lord, and you're truly working this out for your glory and my good. And then he says this, verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Can you trust the Lord in that? Do you think you might have a reward of things that... Remember what the Lord, what the Bible tells us there in the book of Corinthians, that God has things in store for us that haven't even entered into our minds. To those that love the Lord, right? What does that mean? That means we love the Lord so much that we can trust him, even when we don't understand him. He's still true. And so God wants us to have that kind of faith. So rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, and that day's coming. For behold, your reward is great where? In heaven. So that's the day he's talking about. And do you know, fathom this thought, that seems like on this side because we've never been there. That seems like it's so far away. And yet, didn't we all get our driver's license yesterday? Right? For the first time? And at 16? And I did that on my birthday. I couldn't wait. I thought, freedom, I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. And lo and behold, we're still doing things that we don't want to do. But that's all right. He says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich and have received your consolation, or that those individuals that are just looking for their reward here, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. And then notice, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers, listen, to the false prophets. Oh, listen, you're good. We'll listen to you. But they were the false prophets. And why? Because they were telling them the things. See, listen, it's easy when you preach what the people want. It's a whole other ball game when we preach what God wants. Amen? When that's where the conflict will come. And the reason being for that is because the Word of God is not really in agreement with the natural man, right? It's not even in agreement in our own thinking. Because our thinking is, why should anything bad happen to us or difficult or hard if we're doing the Lord's will? And yet, I can tell you on this side of eternity, I don't really fully understand that, but I can trust the Lord that he's got a reward for us, that he is worthy. God is worthy, tell me if I'm wrong in this, to trust him even when we don't understand him. Is that true? God is faithful. Can you trust the Lord to not sometimes, to not most times, but to every time do all things for our good? Can we trust the Lord? That's the real question. Can we trust the Lord, even when we don't understand it, that he is doing this for good? So when the Lord was rejected by his own, when he was falsely accused, he knew it was for the glory of God ultimately and for our good, didn't he? When he was spit upon, when he was scourged, when he was crucified, and when he was railed upon while he was being crucified, it was still for the glory of God. And by the way, I want you to be reminded of this. Even Jesus had a very difficult time on the cross when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he suffered in all points just as we have. He was, you know, because the sin of all of humanity, and at that particular moment, Jesus is asking why, and he knew why, but he still asked why, because he was robed in flesh, as you and I are. And yet he still trusted the Lord, and into your hands, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. And he did, and he rose again to the glory of God and to the blessing of his people. So these are good things, even when we don't understand them. And so he says this. So again, look at verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Not that we go around asking people to think unkind things about us, but we want to walk upright before the Lord. And if we walk upright before the Lord, you and I, not on purpose, you and I will be misunderstood. We'll be misunderstood. And by the way, we ought to have that in mind. You know, they didn't understand. Pilate didn't understand. The Pharisees didn't understand. They were blinded, weren't they? By their hard hearts. They were blinded. But why have you and I been given the light to understand and to receive these truths? We're blessed in knowing that. I am glad. I would rather be a child of the Lord misunderstood than on the side of the world condemned and have many friends that really aren't friends, right? That can't really help me concerning eternity. They can't really help us concern. But we have the best friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says this, verse 26 again. He says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, now this is important. We're coming to the second point. And this is the Lord's direction to the disciples, to his disciples specifically that are hearing. Remember, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples in verse 20. He's still talking to them. But I say unto you which hear, if you're listening, receive this. Ready? Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. We need the Lord for that, don't we? Do good to them. So how do you do good to people that hate you? You can't be alive to self. We have to be dead. And the Lord has to be living through us. It's not like the Lord has to give us a love and insight to see that, Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. And whose shoes would you rather be in? Theirs or ours? Misunderstood or the ones who are misunderstanding, right? I'd rather be misunderstood and be on the Lord's side than to be on the side of those that are condemned and missing out on the Lord. And so he says, but I say unto you which hear, verse 27, love your enemies. With what kind of a love? You know, it's not like the kids on the playground that got in trouble and they were fighting with each other and the teacher says, okay, say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, the ones you say you're sorry. I'm sorry. You know, and go on. And they're not really sorry, are they? They're just saying it because they're being made to say it. But we ought to really have the love of Christ in us that we might truly love those that would despitefully use us or be our enemies. And we need to do good to them out of a genuine love which might hate us. Verse 28, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for them. Keep them in your prayers and ask God to bless them. Verse 29, and by the way, that's only if we're listening to the Lord. That's only if we're wanting to follow the Lord, we want to wish them well. Do we not? We want to wish them well. You know why? Because we have received good, haven't we? Of the Lord. We have received the Lord as our Savior. We know that we have eternal life. And this life's going to be over. How soon? How soon? This life's going to be over. And how long is eternity? I don't know. Amen. It's forever. We know it's forever. But when we're there, it's like, is it going to be day one always? You know, I don't understand that. It's never going to end. We don't understand forever, do we? It is never, we can trust the Lord in that though. We are going to be with the Lord for how long? We are never going to experience pain for how long? We are going to rejoice for how long? Isn't that amazing? Can we trust the Lord in that? Should we walk in that truth? Do we have a hope that passes understanding that the world doesn't understand? Wow, I guess we can rejoice and praise the Lord for that. Because without him, we wouldn't have it, would we? And so we can thank the Lord. So he says this. He says, pray for them which despitefully use you, verse 28. And verse 29, and to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Do you see, with eternity's perspective, we can do that. Because we have so much more. We have raiment that will be more glorious in heaven than any of the raiment we will ever wear on this side of eternity. In fact, the raiment that we will have been prepared by God, given to us from the Lord, and it will last forever. And it will glorify the Lord, and it will truly be a blessing to us as well. So he says, be able to do these things. If you're listening to the Lord, and if you believe on the Lord, walk humbly with your God and allow and realize that God, listen, is allowing that. Listen, do you think Pilate, think carefully with me on this. Do you think Pilate knew that he found no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ? Did Pilate marvel when the Lord did not defend himself? The Bible says he marveled. He couldn't. Do you see what they're accusing you of? And he didn't answer. And the Bible says that Pilate marveled. Do you know what he marveled at? That was a testimony of God. He didn't defend himself. He had a trust. And remember what he told them? He says, do you realize that what I can do to you and how I can free you? And what did the Lord say to him? You could do nothing if it were not given you from my Father in heaven. You see that kind of confidence? Does God want us to have that kind of confidence when things happen into our lives that are not palatable? And by the way, listen, let's not wait for the big things. How about when things don't go our way and we can still have a testimony? And maybe we're in a store and somebody is unkind to us. Shall we be smart back to them, or shall we show the love of Christ to them and allow them to? And we don't have to hear it. But they will have to sit and think, you know, I treated that customer unkindly, and they treated me with the utmost of respect that I certainly did not deserve. But if we act like they act, what did we show them? Nothing. We showed them what they have. But if we show them what the Lord has given to us, and how do we get that? Well, you don't conjure that up. We don't conjure that up. We say, Lord, your will in my life, and Lord, help me to walk in such a way to receive everything that happens in my life as coming from who? Lord. The good and bad. Did Job do that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Who's done it? Are we going to shake our fist when the Lord takes things away that he sees fit to take away? Now, I know that's easy on this side, but that's the faith part that we need to walk in. That's the part that we want to grow in. Not that we look at and say, oh, forget about it. I can't do that. Well, we know that. None of us can. But in the Lord, how many things can we do? Isn't that what the Lord said? Through Jesus Christ, you can do all things, all things. And is the Lord asking us to do this? Does the Lord know we can't do that without him? And has the Lord called us to do those things? Is he planning on us to do those things without him? He would have never given those things to us if he thought for one second we were supposed to do it without him, because he knows us better than we know ourselves, doesn't he? So he says, listen, we need the Lord. Amen. We really need the Lord if we're going to walk, if we're hearing him, and if we can receive these things as coming from him that he wants from us. Look, Lord, you are speaking that not just to the disciples of your day, but you are personally speaking that to me tonight from your lips, from your word. You are speaking to me. You are giving me your directions. And by the way, according to our faith, do you believe that's coming from the Lord? so be it unto you. Can we believe that God is going to enable us to do those things? And when he does those things, we'll say, thank you, God, because there's no way, I'm telling you this personally, I can be kind to somebody who smites my cheek or does something unkind to me. I cannot be kind in my strength to somebody who's done me wrong. But I'm supposed to be nice and kind and gentle and loving when somebody does something unkind, and it ought to be a genuine love of God, right? And so when the Lord allows me to love the Lord, do you know what that gives me an opportunity for? Praise time. Thank you, God. Because I know without you, there's no way that I can do this. No way that I would do this. So he says, verse 28, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. These are directions from the Lord. Give every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. We would say, that's a thief. Wouldn't we? Listen to what it says there. And give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, they took it. He says, don't ask it back. That's going to require faith. You know what the flesh says? You're not going to treat me that way. No, the Lord says, let them have it. And don't ask for it. Now, can we trust the Lord to compensate us? Do we want to be compensated? Listen, question. What do you want to be compensated with? Do you want to be compensated with things that are going to be burned up in this world? Or do you want to be compensated with a deeper understanding and a closer walk with your Savior? Isn't that a better compensation? I would rather have more understanding. I would rather have the riches of heaven than the riches of this earth and the material things that are good. I'm not taking them with me. You're not taking them with you. You'll leave them all behind. I don't have any problems with collections. You know, people have collections. They collect things. Why? Why? Do you think anybody is going to value your collection like you did? They're going to go, somebody, give me $5 for this junk and take it. And even if it's worth something, they're going to sell it and get something for it. They're not going to treasure it. Oh, my goodness, you know how much this is worth? Not as much as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not against collections. Amen? I got a lot of stuff to get rid of. But really, a lot of it, here's my problem. I don't have any kind of specific, I don't collect anything like baseball cards or anything that a guy would collect. I don't know what a guy would collect. But here's my mistake. You know, the extra screws that you get with your blinds, I'll use that someday. No, you won't. I still have the same ones, I don't know how many years ago, right? I know what I'll do. I'm going to get a jar, and I'm going to throw all those screws in a jar. So when I need a screw, I'll have it, you know, praise the Lord. I've never gotten that jar, and I got a bunch of little plastic bags that are unopened in my kitchen junk drawer, right? Doesn't everybody have a kitchen junk drawer? And I do go rifling through there every once in a while, but I'll tell you, I don't even think I do it once a year, you know. It might be once, I don't know. Anyway, why do I do that? I don't know. But we need to be... get unattached to the things of this world and more attached to our Heavenly Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not let certain things, we need to let go, amen? We need to let go of the things of this world that are passing away and take hold of the things that are eternal. And then he says this. He says, and as... verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also, we call it the golden rule, to them likewise. It comes from the Lord. Treat others as you would have them treat you. That's what we call it. It's the golden rule, but it's God's rule. Amen? So regardless how they treat us, we need to treat others, if we're listening to the Lord, as we want to be treated. And then notice verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also even do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil, and he wants us to be his children to do the same. And we need the Lord to do that. But so here's the thing. Do we have it in our hearts and minds to follow the Lord Jesus Christ exactly as he has called us to? Because if that's in our heart and minds, to follow the Lord exactly, Lord, I want to follow you exactly as you have guided me, exactly as you have commanded me, then we're going to have to be reliant on the Lord. See, Lord, I need you to follow you exactly, because here's what my flesh likes to do. Well, you know, we're not perfect. I'm faithful to do this, so we can just, you know, we'll just shove that underneath the carpet and make it go away. Well, we know it's there, but, you know, it's not for me. And we'll make a mistake in that. So, Lord, show me how to walk in your way, in all of your ways, for your honor and glory. You know, I've discovered something. I'm going to have to be a living sacrifice to do that. I'm going to have to ask the Lord, I can't even do this. Lord, show me how to die to myself. Show me how you can live through me. Do you believe you're going to stand before the Lord one day? How is God going to look at our lives? What is the scope? How is God going to look at our lives? Will he not use his word that he's given to us on that? And by the way, does God want us to be failures or successes? And all we have to do is say, Lord, we can teach this, but you can't learn this as a group. You know how we learn it? Individually. We have to individually take these things before the Lord and ask him to, you can't learn for me, and I can't learn for you. And I've got to be genuine. We all need help in this, don't we? There's no way we can do this by ourselves. I'll be the first one to tell you. There's no way. We just don't have it. But God has everything we need, doesn't he? Amen. And if we'll just say, Lord, I want to do it. And I want you to put me in the place. I want you to put me in the place that I need to be. And I want to line up with your word. And if I walk away from that, I want to come back and say, Lord, bring me back into that. If there's a struggle, Lord, please, you defeat my flesh, Lord. I want you to have your way. I want you to be the winner in my life. I don't want to have my way. I want yours in my life. And so there's a battle there. Notice again, verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? And we want the thanks from the Lord. And then if you will, drop down to verse 34, and if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? And we want the thanks from the Lord, don't we? So he says this to get the thanks, to understand the thanksgiving. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing. And notice this, your reward, which is eternal, shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Did Job have that kind of a relationship with the Lord? Do you think Job had that kind of a relationship? Did Daniel have that kind of a relationship? Did Joseph have that kind of a relationship? Remember, his brothers despitefully, really, they hated him. They conspired to kill him. And they sold him into slavery. And the Lord worked in Joseph's life to where he said to them, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That your lives, look at where Joseph was at. He wanted their lives to be spared. That only comes from the Lord. Notice, if you will, here, verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Have we received mercy from the Lord? Of course we have. Judge not, verse 37, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. We don't really have the right to think ill of anybody, even if they're wrong. Are we their judge? You know, I'm sorry when people walk in the wrong way, but it's not our responsibility. Now, if we're privileged, if they ask for our counsel, we can give them counsel. But aren't you glad you're not on that path? You see, we can be glad that we're not on the path of destruction, that are doing things that are wrong or contrary to the will and word of the Lord. And so he says, condemn not, don't condemn, forgive, in verse 37 at the bottom, and ye shall be forgiven. So there's going to be places where we need to forgive people that maybe have wronged us. And by the way, don't we need forgiveness? Absolutely. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. What shall we give? What shall we give? How about the love of God? That covers it, doesn't it? Let's give people what God has given to us. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. I think the love of God, that's a great measure of the love of God. Shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so the Lord says you will even have the influence on the lives of others. But, you know, better than getting things from men is getting things from the Lord. So God is saying if you treat others, they're going to treat you like this again. But if we honor God, who is worthy in this, question, will he honor us? He said he would, wouldn't he? He honors those that honor him. So the greatest prize, really, is the honor of the Lord. Don't you want the Lord to say, you know, he or she honored me? Isn't that something? That's a forever thing. Whatever we get from men, it's gone after here. But what we get from the Lord is eternal. So here's the question: what do we want? The things that are eternal or the things that are passing away? He says, verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Let's not follow the blind. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And who are the blind? The people that can't see the word of God. The disciple is not above his master. That's us. But everyone that is perfect or mature shall be as his master. Did the Lord allow things that were unrighteous to be done to him? Did he turn the other cheek? Was he despitefully used? Was he falsely accused? And of course, the answer is yes in that. So here's the disciple full of faith being as his master. So notice verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his what? Master, right? And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? We have flaws. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam, it's a bigger thing, that is in thine own eye? He says, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. You think the Lord's really saying, you know, you can get to this place where you can correct your brother and sister in Christ. The truth is, we will always be dealing with things in our own personal lives. Now, that's not saying that if a brother and sister in Christ come and say, what do you think about this, that we can't give them godly counsel. That's not what the Lord is saying. But he says, what is the Lord really saying? He's saying, focus in on our own flaws, right? Focus in on what God is wanting to do in our own lives. So he says, verse 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? He says, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And he says, why? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Listen to that truth that he just said right there. He said, if it's a good fruit, it's the natural result is going to be good fruit. If it's a bad tree, the natural result is going to be bad fruit. And then he says, look at the fruit Again, are we supposed to look at other people or ourselves? Look at what's coming out of our lives. Not when nobody else is looking, or when we take liberty, what's coming out of our life? Is it the love of God? You know, we really should. How often does God say we should speak ill of people? Never. Never. We should never speak ill, unkind words of anybody. And we need the Lord for that, don't we? We should speak kind, hopeful words as God thinks about us. Does God have hope for us? He does have hope for us, and we praise the Lord for that. And then notice what he says here. He says, verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord?" This is a big, tall order here. He's giving to us directions, right? He's saying, this is the way to walk. If you'll call upon me and do these things, they will take place. And then he says this, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Did the Lord anticipate there are some people that call him Lord that really aren't going to give much effort towards the direction that he's just given? That's how they heard that, right? How did they hear that? Well, that was a good sermon, Jesus, but, and then they give whatever they want to give, but it's an excuse to not follow the Lord's will. But for those that really love the Lord and really feel this indebtedness to the Lord, I feel indebted to the Lord. You think I should feel indebted to the Lord? Do you think he's given me something like he calls it eternal life, I'm going to live forever? That I owe him something for? And fathom this. He says, if you will give me what I'm asking from you, you will have you will be blessed. You fathom that. If you follow me and obey me, I will fulfill in your life a life like you could have never had without me. A life that will be filled with all good things. Amen. Yeah? Listen, do you think Peter, he's in heaven now, of course, you know. And by the way, even after the resurrection and when he served the Lord, he went through some tough times. But do you think Peter then and even now, do you think he ever regretted following the Lord? No, he doesn't regret that. And by the way, you know that Peter weeping bitterly as he did was a good thing because it brought him into right relationship with the Lord. That doesn't make sense really to the world. It was good for Peter to come to the end of Peter so that God can be everything to Peter. It is good for God to do what it takes, and only he knows, to bring you and I to the end of our old self. Amen. It's good for God to bring us, and I say that, and I know it's a bitter pill. But it will accomplish the glory of God like we can never do for the Lord. And the blessings of God into our lives for his honor and glory. Last thought here, and we're done here. And that's the disciples' faithful foundation. Here's what he says here in verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me. So it takes approaching the Lord, doesn't it? We have to approach the Lord. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying. So two things there. We have to approach the Lord. And we have to hear what he's saying, and then do with them, I will show you, the Lord will show us to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That was good, right? So these are people that came to the Lord, that heard what he said, and did what he said, right? By the grace of God. They didn't do it on their own strength, and they'd be the first ones to tell you. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not, did you hear that? He that hears and doesn't do it is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and in a lot of time, in many years, or immediately, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It fell quickly, didn't it? There was no time. It fell. And that's a life of an individual, listen, who hears the word of God, has no intentions of doing it, and their house, their testimony, as soon as something goes against, as soon as a little bit of conflict, a little trial, they lose it. Their composure, everything is gone to pieces. It falls apart. And it's seen not just in eternity, but it's seen here on earth. So here's the question tonight. Do we want to be truly, as saved believers, children of the highest? God says, then come and follow me. Hear what I'm saying and call upon me to perform these things in your life. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you for the great reminder that you've given to us. Lord, the answers for your will and success to be fulfilled in our lives as we submit ourselves and call upon you to enable us to walk in your ways and to perform the works that you've called us to in your word by your grace and glory, for your honor and glory and our blessing. Lord, may you do a work in our hearts and minds. Give us your wisdom and understanding and reveal to us, Lord, how much we truly need you and that we might faithfully call upon you to do your work in our lives. Bless the invitation and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.